What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Jeffrey D. Johnson, and I want to welcome you to the JJ and Team podcast, where we try to teach you the fundamentals for living a healthy lifestyle. I am joined today by my good friend, Mr. Josh Hudson. He is the college director at First Evangelical Church, my co-worker, and we are going to talk about the state of the college student. Man, right now, so many things are happening. So many things are different from previous years because of the COVID pandemic. And we want to talk to Josh to see how can we best engage that demographic of people so that they won't lose hope, so that they can be uplifted and encouraged through this time. So let's dive in with our conversation with Mr. Josh Hudson. Enjoy. So for people that's watching or listening, can you give them a little bit about who you are, where you work, where you're from, and what's your role within the church?
Yeah, man. My name, as you said earlier, is Josh Hudson. I work at First Evangelical Church. I'm the college director there, so I work with college students primarily. I'm originally from Mississippi, the Mississippi Delta, but moved to the Memphis area when I was 10. Nice. And went through high school here, went to Bartlett High School, and then went to UT Chattanooga. Moved around for a while, about 10 years, lived in Chicago and in Massachusetts, and we made our way back to Memphis. My wife's also from Memphis in 2016, and at the end of the summer of 2016.
Well, that's awesome. A lot of people here in Memphis don't know much about the Mississippi Delta. So what part of the Delta are you from?
Yeah, I was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Nice.
My dad still lives in that area. He lives way out in the country, but Clarksdale's, you know, 15 minutes from his house or so. And then I went to elementary school mostly in Cleveland, Mississippi. The Delta is interesting, man. I love it, and it feels like home when I go back. I have a strong sense of place there, but as flat as it gets and and farmland everywhere. My dad farms actually mostly soybeans now, but that's changed over the years. But it's just a pretty rural lifestyle.
Yeah, I've been to Cahoma a couple times, and I remember the first time I ever went to Clarksdale, I was like, man, when am I going to get there? There's just so many fields.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's a Walmart.
Yeah. There's no like, you don't go through like suburbs before you just like hit town. Yeah. You go from like fields to town immediately.
Right. Man, that's interesting. It's definitely a different pace than up here in the city of Memphis.
Yeah, for sure.
So you say you went to Bartlett High?
I went to Bartlett High. Yeah. All 4 years.
When did you graduate?
I graduated high school in 2006.
Six? Okay.
Yep.
Nice. And then you said you went to UT.
Went to UT Chattanooga. I studied philosophy and world religions at UTC.
That's interesting.
Yep.
So now you're at First Evan. You're the college director. You're working with young people who their emotions are all over the place. Their development mentally is all over the place. And they're just trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah.
What's the biggest struggle you have just working with that demographic?
The biggest struggle, honestly, it's probably keeping their attention, honestly. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, but I don't think that's unique to college, maybe. I think everyone is kind of competing for attention right now. And I think we have something very important, the most important thing to share with them. And so, so I want attention to some degree, and that requires, some creativity to figure out how to do that, occasionally. And then, just keeping it. But I think for students, the thing that they're probably, whether consciously or subconsciously, you said it, they're trying to figure out who they are. I think identity is a major issue, in college age people. I mean, there's lots of exploration. That's kind of the stereotype for college is experimenting. And we do that in all sorts of ways. You start partying a lot or doing something like that, but you're also experimenting with who you are and, who you want to be for the rest of your life. You're picking a major, you're changing a major, you're struggling to find a group. You're trying to make your faith your own, possibly, right. or discover right. it for the first time. What do I believe? You're kind of exploring some of those other things. And so, yeah, there's a lot of experimentation, a lot of exploration that goes into it. And people are just trying to figure out kind of their place in the world.
Yeah, you said identity is a huge part of that demographic. I know for me personally, I'm trying to figure out if I was a basketball player, trying to figure out if I was an artist, like what exactly was I, you know, in a fraternity. And it's just all these things pulling, you know, Christians, just pulling on my attention, trying to gain that number one spot in my heart.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to keep the Lord there with so much and being separated from my family kind of made it easier to somewhat lose track. So going back to identity, tell me a little bit about how you think that this COVID pandemic has kind of affected the pursuit of identity or the structure of our college kids' identity, because they can't do all the things they wanted to do. They can't do what they were scheduled to do, like graduate and, you know, have large events and socialize. So how has this affected their identity in a sense, do you think?
Yeah, good question. I think the clearest thing that it's probably done has revealed in us a lot of the things that we find our identity in that isn't stable. So for me, as a Christian, as a pastor, the primary identifier, the primary place where I think we should find our identity is in Christ. But that doesn't mean that we don't find our identity in lots of other things. I mean, I'm a husband and a dad, and the music that I like, the things that interest me, all inform my identity. But the primary sort of central place should be Christ. But oftentimes, and I'm going to use idolatry language because I think it's helpful. So the way that I kind of talk about it is, Christ should be the center of our lives. But lots of other things kind of, just because Christ was the center of my life at one time doesn't mean that I'm not going to try to replace him at some other time when I lose interest or when I do whatever. And the clearest way that we do this, I think, normally is through self-centeredness. I mean, we put ourselves at the center. We replace ourselves as Christ. And we try to take control. And something like the pandemic reveals how little control we actually have of the world. That creates for a lot of people anxiety because now they don't know what to do. The things that you did find your identity in often in this season are not available to you. And so that has created in some, I think, an identity crisis. But I think for our students, the goal is to help them recognize that those things were unstable to begin with, and they're always going to be unstable. And Christ should be the foundation that you're building your life on. And
that's real, man. Yeah. Like, I hate to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Like, as adults, we're all struggling with that too. Like, you know, this is my job, so this is who I am. So typically, when you meet someone new, they say, hey, you know, who are you? Well, you know, I'm the recreation and fellowship director at First Evan. And this is, you know, how long I've been here. This is what school I've gone to. It's just like this checklist of things that we spit out because we're used to labeling ourselves, or society is used to expecting these type of labels.
Yeah.
So it'll seem odd if I introduce myself, you say, hey, my name is Jeffrey Johnson. I love art.
That's right.
I love sports. I love poetry. I love God. You know, I'm a weird kid that loves anime.
Yeah.
You know, like this is who I am. Oh, by the way, you know, the job I have is, you know, to be the director of a church ministry.
Yep.
So it's just kind of inverted, to your point.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, we do. Right. It's okay for your identity to be informed by all of those other things. Like, I think sometimes we kind of move the pendulum a little too far, and we want to kind of ignore the things that make us unique because we think that it seems more spiritual to just, you know, say first and foremost that I'm a Christian, but my faith is encompassed in all of those other aspects of how I engage the world as well. Like,
let's dive deeper.
Okay,
in that
okay. Any specific direction you wanted me to go, or you want me to just?
Yeah. So, you know, I've heard typically how, and I've done this before too, is feeling the need to put Christian at the forefront of everything, saying it verbally, you know, writing it, showing it on my clothes to kind of express to the world that, yep, I'm a Christian, and not realizing that everything I do should stem from my devotion to God. Whether I eat, drink, or sleep, you know what I mean? Whether I say hi or how I interact with my wife, is everything I'm doing supposed to bring glory to God in some way? And I remember this debate I've constantly had with people. Being a poet in Memphis, they would say, hey, Jeff, you know, this person is looking for a poet, a Christian poet for their event. And at first it didn't bother me, but then it started bothering me. Like, yeah, I'm a poet who happens to be Christian. You can't throw Christian in front of everything and then make that its own little category. You know what I mean? Cause I was like, hey, are you a Christian plumber? Are you a Christian drive-through associate? Like, are you a Christian sales, you know, worker? Like, just because I'm a Christian, I'm a poet, you can't throw that in front of everything and expect it to give you an edge in your spirituality.
Yeah, I think so. You hit it. My faith is central to who I am. But I'm engaged in all of these other things. I'm doing all these other things. And I don't like the idea of really being pigeonholed kind of the way that you're talking about. It's like, Well, they want a Christian poet, and it's like, well, how about a good poet who's a Christian?
Right.
And like, you know, I don't want to be kind of just the, oh, when we need a Christian, we're going to call this guy. It's like, well, that's awesome. Like, they know that I'm a Christian, and that's really cool. But, and I want to be known as a Christian, but I don't want to be, you take something like the Grammys or like some sort of awards thing. It's like, I want to be in the main categories. Like, I want to be bringing Christ into like all of it, not just win the Christian Music Award. I want to be competing with the best of the best, and I want to be able to like integrate my faith into that work in a way that is that is seamless and informed and allows some sort of vibrancy in that. And some people do that better than others, for sure. But it's an interesting debate and an interesting way to kind of think about it.
You definitely hit it. So I can imagine college students having that similar thing, you know. It's like, all right, you know, I play college ball, so it's like I'm not a Christian college basketball player. I'm just a basketball player. And if you put somebody in front of me, I'm going to try to destroy you.
That's right.
On the court. It's not going to stop. I'm not going to take it easy on you because I'm a Christian. You know, when I went to spoken word events or poetry slams, it's like, yeah, I'm going to come in here and compete against all of y'all. I don't care what your content is. It just so happens my content is glorifying to God. So I'm about to bring the heat.
That's right.
Yeah. And just like anybody else.
Sports is a good one because we do this in a lot of other aspects of the world. Like, you know, people who start, and this isn't to knock people who do this, but, you know, they start a business and they want to put a Bible verse on everything and they want to be known as the Christian guy that does this. And it's like, with sports, like, you want to be in the NBA. You don't want to be in like the Christian NBA. Like you want to compete against the best of the best, and you want to carve out your space there. You're not trying to like, anyway. So it's a marketplace of ideas and of competition and of people. And we want to be, I think my kind of philosophy on it is, as Christians, we want to be able to participate, fully in that world, and glorify God there, not just to the people who are looking for a Christian, because those people, if they're looking for a Christian to do that, then there's probably a reason. It's probably because they're looking for someone to kind of affirm whatever their worldview is, and that's okay. But as a Christian, we should also be seeking out places to be a part of that where there aren't Christians, or where there's a pluralism of ideas, where you can begin to glorify God in a space where He's not already being glorified, or to people who haven't heard the gospel, or haven't heard that anything about the Bible, about Christianity, about Christ, or may have wrong ideas about what it is, or misguided ideas about what it is. And so, yeah.
And it's prime time real estate for college students, because they're, like we said earlier, there's so many people searching and seeking for who they are and what they believe, and what better place to, I would say, evangelize to the world is to your campus. Like, just being a light. Like, you don't have to walk around, showing that I'm a Christian on your forehead every day, but just being a person of more aptitude in Christ is so much, and it speaks so much to who you are and what you're trying to do. That just reminded me, I remember my senior year in college at Mississippi State. I was walking out of a geography class one day, and I was walking with one of my buddies. He was a believer, and we were just talking about something random. And I looked over and saw this tent. And, on campus, there's freedom of speech everywhere, of course. So this group on campus was called the Atheist Club. And they had this huge sign that said, "Ask an Atheist." And, of course, him and I looked at each other and we was like, I wonder what that's about. So it was like, okay, let's go talk to them. Let's go ask them some questions. And I kid you not, Josh, it started off with us two saying, "Hey, just tell us what you guys believe and what you're trying to do." And they tell us, and we rebuttal, and they ask us, and then we tell them, they rebuttal. We're going back and forth. And I look up, there's like 30 people standing behind us, because I guess it was like we were the two Christians versus the two atheists. And then it was like 30 of them in their tents, and it was like, "All right, guys, well, thanks for talking. You know, it was a good conversation.
Yeah, let's get out of here." That's hilarious. Yeah.
So, yeah. Just interesting how, just being unashamed and unafraid to just live out your walk will bring in opposition, and B, bring in believers and support. So it kind of works both ways. You just have to do the best you can with what you have. So, yeah. Man, this is some pretty good stuff. So for the parents listening, what's something that they can do to kind of help encourage their college students in this
time? Yeah, man, that's a hard question. I think right now everyone needs some level of encouragement. With college students, it's interesting, because I think something that a lot of students are struggling with is you go to college and you gain a level of independence that you previously haven't had. And you start to like that, and you start to kind of become your own person, which you have to do. So if we're talking about identity and identity development, like, you do eventually have to become your own person. You can't always identify yourself through other people. Whether it be family or whether it be friends or whatever, you have to learn to think for yourself. You have to learn to exist in the world yourself. You have to make your faith your own, I think. And I think that is probably hard for parents already. But college provides kind of an easy way. It's like, out of sight, out of mind. I, as a parent, am not really thinking about them becoming their own person because you're having a hard time letting go. And then all of a sudden, if your student is back home in your house and stuck in your house, where they can't actually exercise the freedom and the independence that they've had, I think probably carving out ways to allow them to still voice who they are, to still explore who they are, to converse with them and not in an antagonistic way where they have to agree with you. I mean, the deal is they're going to become their own person. And it's much better for them to see you as a thought partner in that project than as someone who doesn't want them to become their own person. And so when you become antagonistic in that way, it creates this barrier where eventually they're probably going to close you off. And so You have to figure out this way, and it's difficult to navigate. I don't have a college student yet, and I'm sure that once I get there of my own, I mean, once I get there, I'll realize just how difficult that is when it's your own flesh and blood, when it's your own family, because of course the parent wants to see them go the right way and make the right decisions, and everyone has an opinion about what those right decisions are. And so, but there are ways to sort of gently guide the discussion and to allow, to allow space and, you know, to be gentle, not be angry, and not be antagonistic towards them, I think will go a long way during this time.
Yeah. Well, Josh, man, that is just amazing, feedback, insight. Thank you for, you know, working hard, doing your due diligence to serve that demographic, serving your wife and your children. Like, you're doing a great job, man. And it's encouraging as number one, husband who's not a father yet, but I'm definitely looking at other young men to be kind of the example for me. So I appreciate
Thanks.
You do, man.
All right, everybody. That was my conversation with my brother, Josh Hudson. And I hope you take something from our conversation, how you can best engage and serve the college demographic of young adults. And we just want to keep them motivated. Always remember your purpose and your worth net. Never a day are you worth less, because you're worth it and so much more. Thank y'all for tuning in. Talk to you soon.